I don't remember the details of the story, but do recall that one of the great theologians was asked one time by some seminarians what the most profound thought that he had come across was. And he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that's what Awana is about, telling boys and girls about the love of Jesus, telling them that that love was revealed through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can learn about that through God's Word. You folks look like a friendly group, so I'm just going to kind of relax. I get a little nervous sometimes behind the pulpit. I've heard a couple good messages from your pastors, and I appreciate the opportunity that they're giving me this evening of sharing some thoughts with you. I bring you greetings from Awana headquarters. Canadian headquarters is in Font Hill, which is down near Niagara Falls, about 20 minutes out of the falls. It's from there that we serve some 500 churches across Canada. I bring you greetings as well from my family. They don't travel with me too often, especially when I'm more than an hour from home. We have school children, and my wife is home with them. I have a daughter who is in grade 12 at Karenport High School in Saskatchewan. I have another daughter who is in grade 10. Two sons, one in grade 5 and one in first grade. So that's a little rundown of my family. My wife was saved through the Awana ministry in the city of Chicago when she was 9 years old. And so Awana was very near and dear to her heart. I didn't come into contact with Awana really in a very solid way until I was an adult. In fact, planning to come to a church as Director of Christian Ed, and they had already made the decision to begin the Awana program. So I got involved with them. My wife thought this was great. She was back in an Awana program after having not been in it for a while. And the Lord just used that involvement and then on into doing some things for some of the other churches in the area to draw us eventually into full-time ministry with Awana. Glad to be part of your Awana Awareness Sunday, and I'd like to share with you some thoughts from one of the passages of Scripture that was read this evening, that passage in Hebrews chapter 10, and just singling out two of the verses there, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our time in His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that we receive instruction from it, that you guide our lives as we open our lives to you and to your Word. We pray that as we come into contact with your Word, we might not go away saying ho-hum, or I learned a few more facts, but that we might be people who put into action in our lives what we learn from your Word whenever we come into contact with it. We pray this evening that it might be open to us, we might learn from it, and that we might be able to apply it in our own lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to suggest to you this evening four things that children need, which are suggested by this passage of Scripture, and then one thing that we need. Verse 24 begins, "Let us consider one another." And we live in a rather inconsiderate age. Humanism long ago put man at the center of the universe. What man thinks, what man does is all important to man. Not only is man considered the measure of all things, but the cult of the self has put the individual man in a very central place. What will bring me pleasure? What will bring me comfort? What will bring me security or profit in my life? We have books and periodicals designed to help us get what we want. And I think perhaps it is best summarized by the title of one of the periodicals, simply Self. And we're led in many different ways to center our thoughts on ourselves. If we live in an inconsiderate age, then children are often the least considered of all. There's many countries around the world in which more than half the population is under the age of majority, and they're often ill cared for, abandoned, or abused. My daughter went to Mexico this summer for a very short period of time with Youth with a Mission on a Bible distribution project. And the thing that struck her were the children, the poverty in which people live, but the thing that really tugged at her heartstrings were seeing the children just kind of in the street and without too much to do. In our own country, we think we're faring a little bit better. And I don't really want to offend or step on anyone's feet, but I wonder sometimes if the fight for universal daycare is not so much out of consideration for the children, but again springs out of an indication of adult self-centeredness so that they can do what they want to do. But even in homes with the best of intentions, sometimes we forget what the view of the world is from 2 or 3 feet off the floor. It's as if because they're not our size, children aren't quite people yet. They don't have the same concerns that we do. They're not worried about how to pay the mortgage or where they're going to find a job and how they're going to get along with the boss at work. And sometimes, because those aren't the same concerns that we have, we sort of dismiss them as not being real people. Someone once said that puppy love is real, at least to the puppy. And so children's concerns and needs are real. They may not be the same as ours, but they're real, and they're real to them. I recall myself when one of our boys began sitting up at the table and eating table food like the rest of us, that I remarked to my wife, he's eating people food, and that must make him a real people. But we forget sometimes that these little ones are real people, and they have needs, and they should be considered. We know that their greatest need is to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, but before they understand God's love, they need to see our love shown to them. We need to care for them, consider them. And as the boys and girls come to Sunday school and as they come to Awana, I'm sure you try to show them that love and consideration that you have felt from the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. So children need to be considered, first of all. And then it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The word provoke here is not the same word in the Greek that we find in Ephesians 6:4 or Colossians 3:21, where it admonishes fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It's a different word entirely, and the sense of it is more as the New King James translates it, stir them up. Get them going. Get them off dead center. Often that takes a good deal of energy. Somewhere back in school, I remember learning about the law of inertia, the tendency of an object in motion to continue in motion in the same direction, but an object at rest, the tendency to remain at rest. And if you can visualize a large steel ball, perhaps the size of a bowling ball, sitting on a table, and you try to start that ball rolling, it takes quite a bit of energy. Or perhaps you left your lights on in the car, and you need to push that car where you can get a jump from some other car. Well, to get it moving, takes a lot of energy. And once it's moving, then it tends to keep going. Well, that's the idea of this word. Stir them up, get them moving, get them off dead center. But for what? The verse says to provoke them, to stir them up to love and to good works. An infant is selfish by nature and will remain so as he grows up unless he is trained otherwise. How do we learn to love one another? I think we get the clue from what John said in his first epistle. We love him because he first loved us. And children learn to give love by receiving love. The child who does not receive adequate affection as a child really remains an emotional cripple the rest of his life, finding it very hard to give himself to someone else, to show love, to show affection. And so as we consider children and want to stir them up to love, again, the admonition comes to us that we need to show them love. And that says to love and to good works. And we teach them by precept and example what it is to do good works. Put in an Awana commercial right here. The pledge to the Awana flag says that our goal is to reach boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and to train them to serve him. So we are trying to do what this verse is talking about, stirring children up to love and good works. And so first of all, we're showing them through the gospel the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're there as leaders. That's why you as parents bring your children and why you help them learn those verses so that they can see and experience God's love. And then particularly in the craft section of the handbooks, we're trying to put some feet to our Christian life in encouraging them to have a concern for the lost, whether it's a friend at school that they could invite to come to Awana, or whether it's missionaries in some other part of the world who are sharing the gospel with other people. Then there's some other crafts that have to do with helping around the home. I think most parents appreciate with those particular units, and well, it lasts for at least a week as the kids complete their chart. Hopefully, by doing that for at least a week, they'll get the idea that it's not without some reward and without some enjoyment to do good things for other people. So we're to consider boys and girls. We're to stir them up to love and to good works. And then it goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now those verses are usually applied to adult believers to say, don't stop coming to church. You need the fellowship with one another. But children need a chance to meet together too. I really believe that. If we apply this to children, however, we need to ask ourselves two questions. First question that comes to my mind is, can they get there? You have fields all around you, and there's not too many boys and girls, I guess, that can walk into your facility for Sunday school or for Awana. So that means that you have to be their wheels. And I guess most of us that have kids that are involved in Sunday school or Awana or youth group, we do that kind of thing for our kids. We get in the car and we run them over to church, come back later to pick them up unless we're involved in the program ourselves. But perhaps there are some of you who don't have children in the Awana program right now, but that might be an area that you could help. Transportation. boys and girls in your neighborhood that could be in Awana, invite them to come. Say, I'll take you. I recall the example of my father, who, I don't know how many years we did this. I can't seem to remember when it stopped or ended. I hadn't thought about this for a long time. I was just thinking of it this afternoon. A girl by the name of Lynn Gaskell, I even remember her name to this day. We'd stop every Sunday morning to pick her up for Sunday school. Her mom and dad were home. They could have brought her, but they didn't care. And we picked her up, and brought her to Sunday school. And even before I knew my father, before he was married, as a student at Moody Bible Institute, part of his Christian service is working at a rescue mission in downtown Chicago. And Sunday afternoons, he'd take the mission bus around to pick kids up and bring them to Sunday school. We don't know when some of those activities, just providing transportation, will pay off, and a boy or a girl might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior through being in those programs. So, can boys and girls get there? And that's not just a question for the kids right here, that's a question for kids in other parts of the world as well. Maybe that's going to involve giving so that kids can have a missionary come and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Maybe it involves going. Maybe the Lord will call one of you to leave the comforts of Canada and to go overseas and share the gospel with others. They can't always come to us, but we can go to them. So kids need an opportunity to meet together. The other question about meeting together is it something that's on their level? Is it something they can understand, something they can enter in because it's geared for them? I'm sure you have graded material in Sunday school, and it's the same way in Awana as well. It's divided into various clubs and youth programs, all the way from preschool to pre-college. The handbooks and the entrance tests are geared to the understanding and the ability of the various age groups. Starting with the Cubbies, they have a very simple key verse in their entrance test, 1 John 4:10, God loved us and sent his son. Some interesting concepts being developed right there at the Cubbies level. Who is God? There is a God. And he had a son. And he loved us. And he sent that son for us. But then John 3:16 is the key verse for the Sparkies. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A verse that a lot of kids in and out of Awana have learned. Then it gets a little tougher as they get into Pals and Chums. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The idea that we can't do anything to earn our salvation, that's a gift of God. It's not of works. When the kids get up into Guards and Pioneers, it gets even longer. Three verses for their key verse, Titus 2:11 to 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we go on into the junior varsity program, a verse that fits in the motif of the junior varsity program, that motif is a track and field theme, and so they've chosen Hebrews 12, 1b and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So each age group, as they go up, it gets a little harder. More concepts are involved. And the Awana leaders have the opportunity of sharing with the kids just exactly what those verses mean. So as kids meet together, they have to be able to get there, and they have to be able to have a program that's designed just for them. Finally, the fourth thing that I think these verses suggest to us is the kids need to be encouraged. That phrase says, exhorting one another. And that's a word we don't use too much. The Old Methodist Church in its early days, perhaps even back to the time of John Wesley himself, used to have someone they called an exhorter. And after the scripture or after the sermon, the exhorter would get up and encourage people to apply what they had heard. And so boys and girls need to be encouraged. Most of us have a lot of negative input into our lives. Over the summer, there was a while I was getting so depressed listening to the news that I guess I really stopped listening to it for a while. And you turn on the 6 o'clock news, or you turn on the journal, and most of it's negative, right? And that's after a day at work when perhaps you got told all the things that you did wrong on the job, but never complimented for what you did right. Maybe you got home and your wife said to you, you still haven't fixed that leaky faucet. Or you get home and you say to your wife, isn't dinner ready yet? And we just have lots and lots of negative input. Children get negative input too. Remember a story about a couple of kids that were playing, and the one said to the other, let's play house. I'll be the mother. You ask me if you can do something and I'll tell you no. But if we would chart the number of times we say no to our kids, it would be an enormous number of times. But we try in Awana, through the award system, through the various recognitions that we give to the kids, to encourage them. I was attending an Awana night service, similar to what you had this morning probably, and some kids were sharing what they liked most about Awana. There was a little girl, I think she was in Chums, and she led it off by saying, the thing I like most about Awana is that when I come, my leader smiles. I don't know why that was so important to her. I do know that there's boys and girls that just about get kicked out of the house on Awana night. Mom and Dad want a night by themselves, either to watch TV or to go out shopping, and Awana's a convenient babysitting service. And so kids get shoved out the door and they come, not perhaps in the best frame of mind. And leaders have the opportunity of showing those kids that they appreciate them being here. And for some, that is a real encouragement. But all sorts of things in Awana are used as ways of recognizing kids. Even coming faithfully to club, that's recognized. Just being faithful in attendance. And then, of course, as the boys and girls do the sections in their handbook, all of that is recognized with crowns and jewels and bars and ribbons and trophies and so on. And just a pat on the back sometimes as well is what the kids need. But the kids need the encouragement. And so those four things, I think, are things that the kids need. They need to be considered. They need to be gotten moving to do good works, not for salvation, but as an expression of their Christian life. They need to have a chance to meet together, and they need to be encouraged. But finally, I think these verses speak to us of something that we need as well. It says, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need a sense of urgency. We don't know when Christ is going to come back. We don't know when any of the children that are now coming to club might be taken from us. All we have is today. And we need a sense of urgency in reaching those boys and girls with the gospel of Christ and training them to serve Him. One day as I was going into the city of Kingston, I had the radio on. It was fairly early in the morning and I wanted to sort of find out what was happening locally. News story came across that morning of a fire that had wiped out a family of four. Next day I picked up the Toronto Star and there was the article concerning that fire. It outlined how a little girl by the name of Katrina, I believe she was about 9 years old, along with her younger sister, her mom and dad, their lives were snuffed out by that fire. What seemed to make it all the more tragic was that Katrina had just about won a bout with cancer. She'd been battling that for over a year, just about clear, and then her life was taken from her. I have no idea whether that family was ever invited to come to church, whether the girls ever attended Sunday school, ever had the chance to come to Awana. But for the Christians in that community, their opportunity was gone. They never would have another opportunity to reach that family for Christ. A few months later, there was a follow-up article in the Toronto Star, and it was headlined, "City of Kingston orders smoke detectors in every dwelling." Putting those smoke detectors in every home would not bring that family back. It would only protect those who were still there. And so it is with us. We have an opportunity of working with the boys and girls that are in our sphere of influence now. We can't do anything about those who have moved away, those who, for some other reason, we're not in touch with. But we can do something about the ones who are around us today. Our own children, our neighbors' children's children, boys and girls that can be invited to come to Sunday school, come to Awana, and hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need a sense of urgency. I need a sense of urgency in getting the job done. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how such a simple passage as this can suggest to us that we have a job still undone and that we need to be at it. We need a sense of urgency to reach the boys and girls that we can today. Father, help us to put that into action in the week ahead, in the month ahead, that we might bring boys and girls to Awana, to Sunday school, might share with them the gospel in our own homes or at church, that they too might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ that we hold so dear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.